Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is TD Teron Davenport. TD, always love chatting with you. TD, looking at the current wide receiver situation with the Tennessee Titans, which do you think is more likely? The Titans go into this season with the receiving core that they have currently constructed, Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chris Moore, or that the Titans go out and make a big move for a new receiver, a veteran receiver, potentially DeAndre Hopkins or another receiver that could potentially be on the market from now until the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I don't think they go out and make a big move. There could be a lower scale addition, but what you see is probably what you're going to be dealing with throughout the year. And obviously it leaves a lot for a lot of fans to critique and be upset about. And we'll just have to see how it rolls out. But I don't see them making a big deal.
And who do you predict to be the starting quarterback week one?
I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be Tannehill. I think when you look at Will Levis, he's a guy that you have to continue to develop. Same thing with Malik Willis. It's going to be Tannehill. That's what I would predict.
Now, with that being said, TD, do you think, because we discussed earlier about, you know, Ryan Tannehill and potential trades. One question for you. First question is, if Ryan Tannehill, if it's close, say the quarterback room, do you think that the Titans are more inclined to trade away Ryan Tannehill before the season, or do you think it's one of those deals where they keep him around, and if something happens during the season, then they can make a trade, which to me I think is very highly unlikely. Because I think if they're going to make a trade for Ryan Tannehill, they're going to do it at the beginning of the season or before the season kicks off rather than, you know, once the season has gone. But do you think if it's close, if Will Levis is showing that he's picking up the offense, that he has the maturity, that he's showing the leadership, do you think there's a high possibility that they push the button on a Will Levis led team now rather than later?
I don't think as long as Tannehill is healthy and able to play, I don't think they're going to pay him $36 million to not be there. And then also even, you know, swallow that 18 if they trade him. Now, obviously that could change. You look at what happened in 2016. Right before the season, you had Teddy Bridgewater go down with that terrible injury, and the Eagles flipped Sam Bradford for a first-round pick. Now, if a team would give a first or even a second-round pick for Tannehill, I think he would be gone. I think that would be the case, but I don't see a team doing that unless they are stuck in some type of situation like that before. So all that being said, even if it's close, I think Tannehill will be the guy, at least for this upcoming year. And that being said, I mean, you know, both Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel said it will be a competition and the guys will kind of sort out where they end up. Still, they spoke to Tannehill and told him where he stood. So I would highly doubt that they would go back on that just on the strength of you know, having a consistent message to him, which also extends to the rest of the locker room. I think that's something you have to consider.
Am I making too much of a big deal out of this or not? Tell me, TD. When asked during, and you were there during the, you know, the media session with the players last week, and the question was asked about Ryan Tannehill, you know, what did you think about them drafting Will Levis in the second round but not drafting a wide receiver and this and that? And his response was basically, I thought they would draft one earlier, but they didn't, but they, you know, drafted player of need. Should I think too much about that or not? Because to me, I look at it as, like, he's really disappointed as a quarterback they didn't get a wide receiver earlier rather than waiting waiting to the seventh round to go out and get a wide receiver, because he knows exactly what he needs to succeed.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because I also remember him saying that, hey, you know, he doesn't make the decisions and he's just going to go out and try to get better each day. That's a tough call, whether or not that's a big deal being made about it, because, I mean, he was just speaking his mind, and it's very obvious that the be great around Tannehill thing has not been adhered to since, you know, A.J. Brown being traded, et cetera, et cetera. So I could see there being disappointment there, but I don't think that he was truly – because he's always one that, like, he toes the line. Like, he's not going to typically have a controversial statement. There are some things, obviously, that we've made a bigger deal out of, but I don't think that this was the case with this one.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, first of all, let's hope this day off helps our Mets regroup. Man, they are really struggling right now. It's driving me crazy. But that aside, we'll get together later and have our therapy session. Okay, Teron?
Yeah, they're doing terribly.
They're not doing well. What was your reaction when you saw the Taylor Lewan lawsuit? I guess we've known this was coming for a while, but James Andrews, you know, such a reputable guy, like state-of-the-art kind of guy in baseball and in football. I was really surprised when I saw that it was him.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw it was him as well. I guess nobody's perfect, right? And I mean, whatever happened with that, obviously, Lewan's career took a different turn after the injury. And, you know, as a result of that, he's not here with the team anymore. I was just surprised, you know, like you said, that it was that surgeon, that doctor, because he's so renowned and has worked with so many players and done an excellent job with them.
Teron, you've seen a lot of seasons in this league, a lot of unexpected teams do well. Teams that are supposed to be really good on May the 8th end up having a disastrous kind of season. We're trying to look at the way the Titans team is constructed right now. Let's say things fall right. If you argue that last year things just didn't fall right, right? They just had a rash of injuries, a lot of things that derailed an otherwise solid season that was in the making. What would be a solid season for this team?
Yeah, I think to contend for the AFC South title. I think, you know, a 9-8 type of record would be really solid for them. You would like to see them do better, just given that it's probably going to be the last hurrah for Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. But I think 9-8 is probably, if I had to make a prediction, I would say 9-8, 10-7 would be a solid season for them.
So if that's – and I tend to agree. I think 10 would be sort of the ceiling. 9, 10, very realistic. But you could go under that for a couple games. But with that in mind, how much are you eyeing this season and how much are you keeping an eye on what you have to do beyond the season, knowing the situation you have contractually with Byard, Tannehill, Henry, your quarterback situation, your draft for next year? What's the balance in your mind?
Well, I think knowing how much money they're going to have available free agent-wise and just salary cap overall, Byard is not one that I would be thinking about. But I do think, you know, with Tannehill and Henry having avoidable years and their contracts essentially being done, you're going to have to, you know, look towards replacing those guys. And I think that's a part of this surprise draft that they had this year as far as moving up to get Levis and taking Tajay Spears. I think that was done with those intentions in mind. But you also have to look at the draft capital that they have. It's not too good. I mean, you're looking at, what, a first, a second, a fourth, and 2 sevenths. So you're not in really good shape there. The guys that you know, traded the fifth and sixth round picks for in Dennis Daly and Ugo Amadi, minimal contribution and not even on the roster anymore. So I think with this, the biggest thing would be trying to figure out ways to increase that draft capital, because also you look at the whole process of getting comp picks. You know, that's probably not going to be a really good option for them either. They didn't get any this year, you know, and next year is probably going to be the same.
TD is with us, Teron Davenport. TD, is there anything in particular that makes you feel more confident that Kevin Byard will be a Tennessee Titan this season, maybe more so than Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill?
No, I mean, not necessarily anything as far as like what's been said or anything like that, I think, you know, all three of them are still playing at a very good level. A very good clip here, you know, obviously with Henry getting back to the multiple, 200-yard rushing games and 1,500 yards in the season. But I don't see anything in particular other than the fact that these other guys have voidable years on their contract and it's minimal cost to move on.
And speaking of Tannehill, how did you step away from his press conference last week? What was your biggest takeaway from Tannehill's meeting with the media last week?
Yeah, biggest takeaway, just the way he handled being in that situation again. Like, I couldn't imagine my future replacement being selected and added to the group 2 years in a row. And just to see the focus that he still had on, look, just going out and winning games, that being his job and his objective. And then even, you know, he could have put the team under the bus, right, for not drafting a receiver earlier. But, you know, he kind of touched on it, but he didn't, in my opinion, throw them under the bus. So just the maturity, the respect that he maintained for the organization, and just the way he was. I mean, I was impressed with that part of it.
I really do have to give Ryan Tannehill credit. I felt like he got up there after the Titans drafted his heir apparent, after the Titans didn't address the receiver position until the seventh round, and considering all of the headlines that were made of his post-draft press conference last year after the Titans drafted a quarterback, I really did get a sense that Ryan Tannehill went up there with a good bit of confidence, all things considered.
Absolutely, a good bit of confidence. That's one thing he always shows, is the confidence and the professionalism. So you got to respect that with him. I think he does an excellent job of you know, maintaining his composure throughout all situations. And that's something that a lot of his teammates and the coaches, they commend him for.
TD, Teron Davenport, appreciate you as always. We will chat with you soon. Thanks, TD.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you. Take care.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. We'll chat soon. Coming up next, one of the biggest names in basketball, in sports, has made a pretty big decision. We'll give our thoughts on that coming up next. Caroline Relay-Demace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.